Amen, church. Amen. There's no better person to answer your prayers than God. He's the only one that can do it. There's nothing better than God. There's nothing better than Jesus Christ. There's nothing better than the Lord in your life. And the more that we realize this, church, the more that we draw closer to God. And the more we draw closer to God, oh wow, what a wonderful relationship that is. What a wonderful relationship it is with the Lord when we continue to draw closer to Him. Oh, wow, do I love Wednesday? Do I love to hear the praises that you have? Wow, do I love when you pour your heart out to your brothers and sisters in Christ, knowing that they're going to pray for you, knowing that they're going to lift your name up to heaven? Oh, wow, I hope we're doing that. I hope we're praying for one another. I hope we're doing that. I hope we're doing that. As many of you know, I started a series, a three-part series on what the church should be. And last time I was up here, we talked about how the church should be precious to us. It should be precious to us. It shouldn't be a chore in our life. We shouldn't say, oh, I have to go to church. We should want to come to church. It should be a wonderful experience in your life to be a part of the church. Why? Because we didn't deserve to be a part of the church. But by the blood of Jesus Christ, He's made us a part of the family of God. He's made us a part of the body of Christ. Amen, church? Oh, wow, what a wonderful piece. I mentioned the verse in the beginning. It was Psalms 122:1, I believe, where it says, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I hope that's your experience here today. I hope you want to be here today. I hope you want to draw closer to God today. I hope you want to have a great relationship with the Lord. I want to read Psalms 133:1, and I think it's important for us to understand this evening. 133:1 says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Oh, wow, what a wonderful psalm that is. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live in perfect unity. Oh, that's what we strive to be, church. We are striving to be more unified. And listen to me when I tell you, the church looks more beautiful when we're fully unified, when we operate as the body of Jesus Christ. We look solid, we look firm, because we're held up and we're held together by Jesus Christ. God calls us to be unified in the body of Christ. We're not supposed to be divided. We're not supposed to have divisions in the church. We're not supposed to gripe and complain. We're not supposed to gossip and slander. And there's many Christians today that are letting divisions and separations creep into the church. Oh, wow, is the devil wreaking havoc on the church today? Amen, church. The devil has got his hands in the church today. He's creating divisions, right? He's creating fear. He's creating all sorts of things, false teachings in the church. The devil is wreaking havoc in the church. But when a church is unified, oh, wow, are they strong. And wow, do they look beautiful. The church looks so beautiful when it's unified. I don't think there's not much more beautiful than a church that is unified. That work is one body. That move as one body. It's so beautiful. But when we allow divisions to creep in, separations to creep in, when we start complaining about the color of the carpet, church, listen to me closely. Listen to me closely. It's a funny thing to say, but people do that. The church doesn't look so beautiful. Why would the world want to come to a church that's divided? Think about that as we continue through the passage that we're going to continue through, and that passage is Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 is where we're going to be. Let me ask you a question. Are you striving for unity in the church? Do you care that we're unified as a body of believers? Are you striving for unity, or are you creating divisions in the church? Are you gossiping about people? Are you complaining about things that shouldn't matter at all? Are you creating divisions? Are you striving for unity in the body of Jesus Christ? I talked about the first week, the church should be precious to us. But listen to me, this week I'm going to say the church should be unified. The church has to be unified. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 1, says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Listen to me very closely. Paul urges us So what does it say? It says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. That is an awesome word. That's a huge word. He urges you. He's pleading with you. He's pushing you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. There's many Christians not living a life worthy. They don't care to live a life worthy. Maybe you're here today and you don't care to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Well, what does that calling look like? What does he say in verse 2? He says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. If you want to live a life worthy to the calling you have received, you're going to be completely humble, you're going to be completely gentle in your life, you're going to be completely patient, and you're going to be completely loving of one another in the church. Oh wow, does the church struggle with loving one another? Does the church struggle with being humble at times? The church struggles with being gentle at times, and the church struggles with being patient at times. You have to be completely all four of these things, and when we're not completely all four of these things, division and strife and gossip and slander follow into the church. Listen to me very closely. These things are not, it's not just when you want to be humble. It's not when you feel like, well, today I'll be humble. If you want to live a life worthy of the calling you've received, you're not going to say, today it's convenient to be humble. Today it's convenient to be gentle. Today it's convenient to be patient. And today it's convenient to bear with one another in love. And then tomorrow I'll say, well, I don't want to be so humble. I don't want to be so gentle. And I don't want to be so patient. And I definitely don't want to love one another. I'm just in a bad mood or whatever it might be. Listen to me, that's no excuse at all. When God calls us to be completely humble, that's your whole self. This is a character trait you ought to have in the Christian life. And when a church has these character traits, these four character traits right here, humbleness, gentleness, patience, and bearing with one another in love, oh wow, do they look so beautiful. It is so wonderful to see. It's so amazing to see. That church is strong. It is built on the foundation of Christ who gives those things. And listen to me, the root of those things that divide us in the church are the opposite of these four. Pride. You want to know how quickly to divide the church? Start with pride. It's so easy to divide the church. When I'm up here and I say, oh wow, I am the greatest preacher there's ever known. If I said that, oh wow, how prideful is that? Or if Jeremy, if you ever said, I'm the greatest life recovery teacher ever known. Or Ashley, you say, I'm the greatest worship leader ever known. That's pride. Oh, wow, there's division and strife and gossip and slander. And oh, wow, the church is divided. It is split. It's separated when pride creeps itself in. But listen to me. Also, the root of the things that divide us is hardness. Oh, wow, can the church be hard at times? They don't strive for gentleness. Hard-heartedness. That is very easy to divide the church. And when we're impatient, listen to me, sometimes we can't just do things right now when you want them. You have to be patient. And if you want to, the root of the things that divide us is impatience. But most importantly, listen to me closely, the big one of the root of the things that divide us is when we do not love one another. When we're selfish. Can I tell you that the church is filled with a lot of selfish people? Many of you have probably known them. All they care about is my way or the highway. And when you're in when you're in the church, the body of Christ, the body of believers, and you are saying it's my way or the highway, you've already allowed division and strife to come into the church. It's the opposite of living a life worthy of the calling you've received. But listen to me, the church is filled with a bunch of people that are prideful, a bunch of people that are hard, a bunch of people that are impatient, and a bunch of people that are selfish. This is important for us to understand as we continue to go into the message, because if we're a church that's going to strive for unity, we must realize something. We must ask this question, am I proud? Am I hard? Am I impatient? And am I selfish? Listen to me, all of us can fall into any one of those four things. And if we're not quick to understand that we're falling into the four categories of the opposite of living a life worthy of our calling, it's so easy for the devil to whisper in, you sure you really like the carpet here? You sure you like the songs we sing? Maybe I like Pastor Jimmy more than Pastor Phil. It's okay if you think that. But can I tell you something very, very closely? That is the first step for the devil to divide a church. Live a life. I love how Paul says this. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. That is such a wonderful verse. It's such a wonderful passage for us to always remind ourselves. Verse 3, it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope. When you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Amen, church. Amen. This is what unifies us. If we want to be united in the church, we must remember these things. He says, there is one body. We're a part of the body of Jesus Christ. We're a part of the church. This is what unifies us. This is what brings us together. And it says, in one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit unifies the church together. And it says, and you were called to one hope. That, what is that hope? That's the hope of the glorious future that we're going to receive as brothers and sisters in Christ. That is our heaven home. That's the glorious heaven that we're going to receive. And then it says, one Lord, that is Christ. What unifies the church? It's Christ, and it's Christ alone. Christ alone unifies the church. And it says, one faith, that's our commitment to Christ. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you ought to have a commitment to Jesus Christ. You ought to have faith in Jesus Christ. That is what unifies the church. It is our faith in Jesus Christ. One baptism. Oh, I pray that if you've come to Christ, you've been baptized. It's the perfect symbol of our resurrection in Jesus Christ. It's the perfect symbol of that. And we're unified in it. We're unified in that thing. And oh, wow, is this true? One God, Father of all. What unifies the church? One God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. You struggle with unity in the church? Remember those things. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God, the Father of all, who is in all, and through all. There's no better God than God. He's the one that builds the church. He's the one that unifies the church. We have to always remember this thing, because I love how Paul says this very specifically at the beginning of verse 3. He says, make every effort. It's not easy to be unified, church. Don't think it's going to come easy, because it doesn't come easy. There's too many churches that split if it just comes easy. Listen to me. We have to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, the peace of Jesus Christ in our life. We have to make every effort. You have to try to be unified in the church. There's a lot of different people in the church. We think differently. We don't have the same opinions, but we have to make every effort to be unified in the church, be unified in the body of Jesus Christ. It takes effort. It takes effort, and it takes a constant reminder of those things that we just read, that we're one body, we're one Spirit, we're one hope, we're one Lord, we're one faith, we're one baptism, one God. Listen to me, if you have a problem in the church, if you just say, oh wow, am I one body with the church, if I'm one Spirit with the church, I'm one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, it's so much easier to stay unified. It's so much easier to make the effort to stay unified. It's easier to remain unified when you remember the last part of what I just read, that God is the Father of all, who is over all. You're not in charge of the church. You're not in charge of the church. You're not in charge of how the things that are done. Who's in charge? Christ is in charge. God is in charge. It says, who is over all, through all, and in all. We have to remember that, church. He's our King. He's our Lord. He's our leader. Thank God that He's our leader. Has to be our leader. Has to be our leader. Verse 7 says, but to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he has ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. This is what is Paul talking about here? Let's break this down really quickly. It says, verse 7 says, but each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. What is he talking about there? He's talking about spiritual gifts. It is Christ who gives each of us the spiritual gifts. Some have two, some have three, some have one. Christ is the one who apportioned those things. Well, why does he say that there? It's very interesting, but what problem that the church had then, we also have today. We can read it also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where the church was having this big issue with everybody wanting to be what they deemed the highest in the church. Oh, I want to be the pastor. I want to be the teacher. I want to be the one that prophesies. I want to be the one that speaks in tongues. And I want to be the one who has the gift of mercy or the gift of hospitality and all those gifts that are listed in those various books. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, all those things, they wanted them. But what's important that Paul says here is that it says, but each one of you, each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. It is Christ who gives you those gifts. And then he goes on and he talks about something so amazing where he says, what does he ascend mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly region? God came down to earth, but then it says the one who descended is the very one to ascend higher into the heavens than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. He's talking about the resurrection of Christ. So then it says, so Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Listen to me. Christ gave us spiritual gifts. He gave each and every one of you a spiritual gift. The Holy Spirit has given us awesome and special gifts that are only given in the church. Only given to those that are a part of the church. The gifts should be there to equip the body. That's what the passage says, right? To equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. The gifts are not to divide us. That's important to understand. Because there's going to be some in the church that think if they don't have this position or they don't have this gift that I'm just going to leave and I'm going to go somewhere else. Or vice versa, all these different things. All the things that we think in our head. The spiritual gifts were not given to divide the church. What does it say? So that it may be built up. So that the body of Christ may be built up. Not divided, not destroyed, but to be built up. Listen to me, this is the beauty of the body of Christ. We're a body, but we're not a bunch of hands, right? We're all different. We're all a different part of the body of Christ. That is so amazing and is so wonderful. I've heard it also explained like this, and I'm only saying this because we're starting up a praise band. There's a lot of musical notes. A lot of different musical notes that are all different. But when they're put together in perfect unity, oh wow, what a beautiful song. And listen to me, when we all begin to use our spiritual gifts, when we all begin to use the gift that God's given us, and we're doing that in perfect unity. Oh, wow, do we make a sweet song to the Lord. That's the beauty of unity in the church. When you start doing what God gave you, what the gift that God gave you, when you're starting to use it for the kingdom of God, when you're starting to use those things for the kingdom of God, oh, wow, does it make a beautiful song to the Lord. It pleases the Lord. It's good. It's good. It's simple as that. It's a simple word as that. It's just good. It's wonderful. It's great. We're not all a bunch of hands. We're not all a bunch of feet. We make up the whole body of Christ. We're all different parts working together for the kingdom of God. When we begin to understand that in the church, when we begin to understand that we're all different pieces working together for the kingdom of God, oh wow, is it easier to be unified in the church. When we're all working for the common goal, the will of the Father, the will of God, is it so much easier not to be divided in the church? I think it's so wonderful that God gave us pastors. I think it's wonderful that God gave us teachers and so on and so on. If maybe you got the gift of mercy, maybe you've got the gift of giving, hospitality. And the list goes on. God gives a lot of awesome gifts in the church. Are you using them to build up the body of Christ? Are you using them to build unity in the church? Verse 13 says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants tossed back, forth, by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Listen to me. When we are unified and when we begin to look more like Christ, we become solid in faith and knowledge. That's important to have in the church. Faith and knowledge. It says, until we all reach unity in faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, that is looking more like Christ, that's looking more like the awesome Savior that saved our lives. You know, that's what we're striving to be as believers in Christ, to look more like Jesus Christ. Then it says, then we will no longer be infants. We'll no longer be immature Christians. We'll no longer be babies in Christ. We'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there. I love the word that's used in the Greek where it says tossed back and forth. That's the same one that's used for when the Sea of Galilee is raging and Jesus calms the storm. Listen to me, that was a crazy storm. And listen to me, when we are not reaching unity in the church, when we're not reaching unity in faith and knowledge of Christ, it is so much easier for false teachings to come into the church. It is so much easier to be deceived, to be what does it say, cunning and craftiness of people's teachings. Listen to me, why on earth are we allowing some of the things that are being taught in church? There's a lot of churches teaching a lot of false things. What does it start with? When they didn't reach unity in faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure and fullness of Christ. It is so much easier to be deceived when you're not being unified in the church. So much easier to be deceived. Why should we be unified? Because a united, strong church is a solid church. We have to be unified, not only in the gifts that we have, but in our teachings, in our doctrines, the things we believe. Because listen to me, the devil is really good about allowing people to come in and trying to deceive people. But when a church is unified, it is so much easier to discern what is right and what is wrong. This is why God gave the gift of discernment. That's one of the spiritual gifts. That's a person that should be a part of the body of Christ. A person that has the gift of discernment. We have to be a solid church. We can't be an infant church. We can't be a baby church who whines and cries because they didn't get their way. That might be a hard thing to hear, but there are many people in the church today whining and crying like infants because it's my way or the highway. To be honest with you, that's not a church I want to be a part of. I don't want to be a part of an infant church. I want to be a part of a solid church. A church that teaches the truth. A church that strives after the love of God. Who wants to please God. Who wants to worship God. With everything that they have. That's the church I want to be a part of. A church that's not tossed back and forth. A church not tossed back and forth. Verse 15. It says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. For Him, the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Oh, wow, what an awesome representation of unity in the church. Christ is the head of the body. What tells your body parts to move? The head. A church moves where Christ tells it to move. A church goes where Christ tells it to go. And listen to me, it says, from Him the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Listen to me, it's Him, Christ, who holds the whole body together. If we're struggling today as a body of Jesus Christ is the only one to pull it back together, to hold it together, to bring it together. And what is this awesome piece where it says, and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. When each of us do what we're supposed to do in the body of Christ, it grows, it becomes stronger, it becomes more active. Many of you who work out know, maybe Phil, I know that you ran a little better of a mile. You know, the more you continue to grow and you continue to do what you're supposed to, when God tells you to do what you're supposed to, the more you become strong, you're able to go, you're able to move, you're able to be active as a believer in Christ. And listen to me, a united church doesn't back away from the truth. A united church doesn't back away from the truth. But what does it say? Instead, speaking the truth in love. Most people are on the two opposite ends of those things. They either speak the truth without love, which is not good either, or they preach about love but never the truth. And I don't know about you guys, but the person who did that the best was Christ. He knew how to speak the truth in love. There's two instances in the New Testament, in the Gospels, where you know the story of the woman at the well. When Christ meets the woman at the well, he doesn't tell the woman that you're good, go on and do the things you've done. What does he say? He says, you have five husbands. You have five husbands. And she didn't go away saying, oh, that man, he was judgmental to me. But rather, Jesus spoke the truth in love, and that lady shared the gospel with the people that she knew. In another instance, with the woman who committed adultery, and the people are ready to stone her, and she's on the ground, her face is down, and Christ says, whoever without sin cast the first stone, and they all walked away, and then he had the woman look up, and he says, well, who is there to condemn you? And she says, no one. And he says, neither do I. But what does he say? He says, go and sin no more. That is speaking the truth in love. And that is what a united church ought to do. Speak the truth in love. They don't shy away from the truth, but they speak it in love. And a united, in a church united in truth becomes mature in Christ. They continue to grow in Christ. They continue to learn in Christ. That's what we're doing here today. We're continuing to learn in Christ. And the church should be unified because it is Christ who holds it all together. It is so hard to be unified these days. You're either on the right or you're on the left of everything. That's not just political, that is everything. Christ calls us to be unified. Christ calls us to look a lot different than what the world looks like. And the world doesn't look very unified right now. Amen, church? The world doesn't look very unified. It's very divided. But the church should be the exact opposite of that. It should be the most unified, solid thing that this world sees ever. But I wonder if they're seeing that. I wonder if they see a united church or a divided church. Listen to me. I love what Paul says here, where he urges us. He's pleading with us to be unified, but I think Jesus Christ says it better. Turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Some of you might not know that Jesus prays this. This is important for us to understand. He prays about you and I. Not just his disciples, not the 12 disciples. He's praying for you and I. John chapter 17, verse 20 says, my prayer is not for them alone, that's the disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I and them, and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved me, even as you have loved me. Listen to me, that is so beautiful. That is so wonderful. Christ prays that we be unified together. What does he say? He hopes that. It says, I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Jesus Christ, your Savior, prays that all of us should be one. Father, just as you are in me and I in you, may they also be in us. Not only are we unified together, but we're unified in Christ, in God. We're in them, and they in us. And I have given them the glory that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Listen to me, church. We are striving every day to be more unified as a church. I hope we are, but listen to me very closely. We will not be fully unified until we're in the presence of God. We keep striving, we keep pushing onto the goal, but oh wow, what a glorious picture, what a glorious day it will be when I stand in the presence of God. What a glorious day it will be when I stand in the presence of God. I hope you can say the same thing. And listen to me, a church that is unified shows the amazing work of Christ. When the world sees a church that is unified, that is strong in the Lord, wow, do they see the amazing work of salvation. It is so easy if we're divided as a church. Like I said in the beginning, why would you want to be a part of that? They're no different than the world. A divided church is no different than the world. It looks exactly the same. A bunch of people yelling at each other, a bunch of people griping and complaining to each other rather than loving one another. Rather than bearing with each other, rather than being humble, rather than being gentle, rather than being patient. They look just like the world. I love what he says. I love what Christ says. It is so wonderful. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. When a church is unified, they show the love of God. They show the awesome love of God. That's what I want to be a part of. I want to be a part of a church that shows the love of God. That's so amazing. It's so beautiful to see. How do we become or stay united in the church? Number one, we have to remember what unites us. Again, like I said, we're one body, we're one spirit. We have one God, the Father of all. All those things that I said, we have to continue to remember what unites us. And what unites us is Christ. He's the only thing that can sustain us. He's the only thing that can bring us together. He's the only one that can hold us together. We have to remember that it all stands on Christ, in Christ alone. It is by His blood that we're even a part of the church in the first place. Remember that it is Christ who unites us. And number two, it's humility. How do we become or stay unified in the church? We have to be humble. Stop thinking you're better than somebody else. You're no better than anyone else. You're the wretched sinner that Christ saved, just as He saved the other person. You're no better than anyone else. You have to be humble. Christ was humble. He's the author of humility, and He calls us to be humble. And listen to me, we have to flee from sin in the church. Very specifically, listen to me closely, gossip and slander will tear a church to pieces. It just will. I've seen it. I haven't even lived that long, and I've seen it a lot. Gossip and slander will tear a church to pieces. The devil loves to use gossip, slander, and anger in the church. Flee from it. Flee from those sins. Flee from those sins in your life. Do not allow the devil to make you gossipers. Do not allow the devil to make you slanderers, but flee from it. It's your free will. You have the choice whether you're going to gossip. The devil doesn't make you do it. You have a free will to choose if you're going to gossip about somebody. You have a free will to choose if you're going to slander about somebody. And listen to me. Number one, it's important. What am I on number four? Prayer. Prayer is important to unify the church. We got to be a church that prays. That's why I like Wednesday so much. A church that prays is a united church. A church that prays together is a united church. We got to start praying more. We know somebody struggling in the church. You ought to pray for them. You know, it's a little bit harder to have bad attitudes about people when you just start praying for them. That's important to know, because it will help you. You got a bad attitude with somebody, I challenge you with this. Lift their name up to the Lord. Not, Lord, smite them down. Lord, bless their life. Make known your promises to them. Bless their life. Oh, wow, will that build unity in the church? But most importantly, the last one, love one another. A church is filled with a lot of people hating each other. but he calls us to love one another. Love binds all those things together. Love is so important to the church. Colossians 3:13-14 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. I could read a lot of different passages about unity. The Bible is filled with passages in God calling us to be unified. But I love that this passage in Colossians. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance with one another, if any of you got an attitude with somebody, any of you got a complaint about another, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds all of them together. Wow, what a beautiful thing. See, there are many believers that are focused on self, creating division in the church. There are many Christians gossiping and slandering, not using the gifts, the spiritual gifts God has given them, that is hurting the church. It's hurting the church. And when we're not unified, the church hurts. So let me ask you a question. Are you striving for unity in the church? Let's stand.